Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Friday afternoon, and we have made it. Congratulations, self high fives all the way around. It's a bizarre day. September the 11th, 2020, the 19th anniversary of these terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And it's just so clear to me at this point, the terrorist attacks of September the 11th, 2001 are rapidly falling into the category of history. And here's what I mean, and then we're going to chat with our friend Jimmy Galliano, who perhaps more than any of us gathered here today understands what happened on that day. September the 11th, 2001, Heidi and I were living in Las Vegas, Nevada. We had a brand new baby boy who was a little more than 2 months old. Almost 2 months old. And the night before these attacks, I was detailed to do an NFL Monday night football party. And it was two teams I didn't care about, and it was late at night, and I was doing mornings at the time. And so I used to get up at around 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning at the latest, get to the radio station, do the show. And I remember that morning saying to my producer, man, there is nothing to talk about today, and I am beat. And then, of course, our world changed. And we also need to put in context where technology was at that point. All I remember is that day that was supposed to be boring, and I had no thoughts at the beginning of the day other than, man, I got to get home and take a nap. It all changed, and I was at the radio station and on the air for, I don't know, 12 hours or 18 hours, whatever it was. And I just remember coming home and seeing that little guy in his little carrying case, because we had the little, turned into a swing, it was a car seat, it was a floor wax, a dessert topping, I mean, it was everything all in one. And looking at that little guy, and he had no clue, of course, he's 2 months old, and thinking, man, your world is going to be so different than mine. And of course, that little guy now is a sophomore at Stanford University. He's never seen the World Trade Center towers. And folks who entered onto service, people who joined the military because they were just appalled at what happened, or they joined this brand new Department of Homeland Security, the various agencies, they're now getting ready to retire. Think about it. It's becoming history, which is why some people can say things like, well, some people did something. Look, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent with the FBI, graduate of West Point, an Army Ranger. How he was able to keep that from me for so long, I don't know. And now somebody who is on the board of directors, the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, finishing up work on his PhD. He's with us. Jimmy, welcome and thank you for being here.
Jeff, I can't think of any more important or somber day to join you. And I got chills just listening to your recitation of how your day started and ended on 9/11 in 2001, and gosh, I think just like our parents did with the JFK assassination in 1963, I don't think there's a person in your listening audience that doesn't have a visceral or palpable memory of that day if they were, you know, they were 5 years old or older. It's just, I think it's one of those seminal moments in U.S. history. It's affected all of us, and it, Jeff, it continues to affect all of us.
I want you to take a moment, if you don't mind, and paint the picture of where you were and what you were doing on September the 11th, 2001.
Well, sure, and I really appreciate the opportunity. I know that there's so many people in all parts of the world that have stories, like you shared your story and that visceral and palpable memory. And I was in New York that day, in New York City, and you know, we've got to make sure that we don't forget that. You know, there was a plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and there was a plane that went down into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. And whether you were in any of those cities or not, it still affected you. And I guess for me, it started that day. I was working in Lower Manhattan on an FBI drug squad, and normally I'd be in the office by 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I'd get a workout in, be at my desk by 7 o'clock or 7:30, and read the newspaper, and then seize the day. And that morning, you know, for whatever reason, I had scheduled a dental appointment in Queens, so I had a little bit, you know, later coffee that morning, and I'd gotten on the road. I was living in upstate New York, close to where I am right now. It's about an hour and a half, sometimes two hour commute in the morning, and I was listening to the radio, and obviously the same imagery or the same. You know, the same memory of hearing this on the radio about, hey, a small prop plane, maybe a Cessna, looks like it ran into the North Tower. And I said, wow, that's crazy. I mean, how did the pilot get into the airspace? And, you know, those buildings were built in the 70s, and they were built to handle something like that. But gosh, I feel awful for the pilot or the two or three passengers and, you know, maybe that one floor that was impacted. The second plane hits, and obviously, I think for all of us, we realized, as you pointed out in your words, the world had changed. So I whip the car around, and I go screeching from Queens, New York, which is one of the five boroughs, back into Manhattan. And by that time, the NYPD, is as awesome as they are, had already shut down all the ingress points into Manhattan. So the bridges and tunnels were all locked down. I throw my lights and sirens on, you know, throw my badge out the window at the guy, get onto the eastern north-south type of lane that's coming down the east side of Manhattan. And Jeff, I got to tell you, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people take that route every day, the tens and 20s and 30s of thousands of people. Wow. There was nobody on the road. Screeching down, go the 9, 10, 11 miles down to Lower Manhattan. By that point in time, people are already starting to pour across the bridges on foot, trying to get out of the city as quickly as they can. Bail out of my car down by the Brooklyn Bridge, which is two blocks away from where the FBI's office was at 26 Federal Plaza, and I start humping it trying to get down to the Trade Towers, and the North Tower comes down. And that visceral, you've seen the videos that are on, you know, the History Channel or on the Discovery Channel of those waves of pulverized concrete and dust, just kind of, and seeing people stream up going north and east and just trying to get out of the area. And Jeff, the world changed. I mean, obviously for the next 2 weeks, I think I spent 3 days down at the site. The FBI put all the 1,000 or 1,200 FBI agents we had at the time up on the deck of the USS Intrepid, which is an old aircraft carrier that's moored on the west side of Manhattan. And we worked out of there for a number of days, and it worked into weeks, and it worked into months from there. But sober memories, and I think, Jeff, one of the most just truly gut-wrenching things. I mean, I've seen a lot of things in my life, and I've seen, you know, instances of man's just incredible inhumanity to fellow man. Yeah. Watching people make that decision on the 100th floor, whether or not that they were going to burn to death or jump to their death, you don't unsee that.
Yeah. It is gut-wrenching. And, you know, here's my fear, Jimmy. You and I are about the same age, and we've got kids, comparable ages and things. They have no firsthand knowledge, and what they may or may not be taught in school is, sadly, at this point, it's cursory at best. And I'm just fearful. And I was never an Army Ranger, but I try not to be fearful. You know what I mean? And I look at this, and I got to tell you something, brother. I am fearful that this next generation just looks at this, goes, wow, that stinks, and then they move on. And somehow, some way, we've got to stop that from happening.
No, I definitely think we do, Jeff. And I mean, just to you know, I'm always a numbers guy with you, and just to kind of go down the numbers, you know, four planes crashed, and they, of course, carried 19 hijackers on them, and 265 people in those four planes died. At the World Trade Center, 2,606 innocent Americans, including two FBI agents, Lenny Hatton and a recently retired special agent in charge by the name of John O'Neill, who retired from the FBI after 30 years and then took over a job the week before 9/11 of head of security for the World Trade Center. So we lost two there. And then, Jeff, you just think about the martyrs. I mean, these weren't just innocent people that were in the wrong place at the wrong time. These are people that went to the sound of the guns. Yeah. 343 FDNY, Fire Department in New York, firefighters, 23 NYPD police officers, 37 Port Authority police department officers. And, Jeff, here's the kicker, which I think really gets lost, you know, when you're talking about, do we really make sure that the next generation remembers this? People are still dying from 9/11 related illnesses. Right. I did a quick search really quick before I came on. The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health has it listed at 3,946 post 9/11 deaths due to 9/11 related illnesses. I mean, if that's not sobering, I don't know what is.
I tell you, Jimmy, I look at this, and the number that I always come back to is a smaller number, but it's one that just, for me, it's like a punch in the gut every time I see it. It's 37. The 37 members of the Port Authority Police Department, it was the largest ever single-day fatality for a single department. And I also look at Father Michael Judge from the New York City Fire Department, who didn't have to be there. He was the first person who died as that building came down. He didn't have to be there. And how many other folks looked at this and said, well, damn it, I'm running in. And how many of those firefighters who were not Catholic got last rites from Father Judge because they knew that they were running into something they were never going to run out of? To say that I'm humbled or in awe of those men and women doesn't begin to do justice to the feelings that I have for them.
Well, you bring up Father Michael Judge, and I think what would be important for your listeners to know on this day, he was the first line of duty death for the fire department on that day. Yeah. He was standing outside talking to a couple of firefighters that were jockeying up and getting ready to go up those stairs. And remember, they couldn't use the elevators because the elevators, obviously, you've got a fire up on the 80th, 90th floors. People are trapped. You can't use the elevators. They're hauling all their gear up the steps, up the stairwells, the very narrow stairwells where people are streaming down trying to run away. And he's down there talking to a couple young firefighters, and he gets struck by somebody who jumped out of the building on the 100th floor. A martyr. And I think, Jeff, one of the biggest takeaways that I have, you know, I mean, certainly in having lived through and experienced a few things in my life and career, but gosh, if only we could juxtapose where we were on 9/12 with where we are today. I mean, there was no tribalism. There was no red state or blue state. There was no Democrats or Republicans. There was no division. It was America's under attack. We have to respond. And gosh, you don't want to live through another thing like that. You certainly don't want to lose, the fellow citizens and fellow Americans like that. But Jeff, you've got to remember that palpable sense of, you know, we might be a divided crew here. Yep. But if you pick on us from the outside, you grab the tiger's tail.
We are so far away from that, and it's it's heartbreaking. It's just absolutely heartbreaking. And I, the only thing that I took as perhaps hopeful, I don't know if you saw it earlier today, Joe Biden and Mike Pence bumped elbows and chatted for a couple of moments. And I thought, well, okay. I mean, it's something. It's not what it ought to be, but maybe, just maybe it's something. Jimmy, listen, I appreciate you taking time. Just so everybody knows, you're in the middle of a million different things and your obligations to CNN and getting this PhD and all the rest of it. And any time that we ask, invariably you say, I will make time. And we are grateful to you for that.
Could not think of a more important day to join you. And obviously, Virginia was as impacted as any other state, with the Pentagon being there and obviously the hub of American democracy up in Washington, D.C. So, Jeff, I appreciate you having me on and giving me an opportunity to share stories. But just remember, for every one of me, there are thousands of people, thousands upon thousands of people out there with even more impactful stories. And as the old saying goes, you know, all gave some, but some gave all.
Absolutely. Jimmy, thank you, my friend. I want to remind everybody to check out Jimmy's website, jamesagalliano.com, jamesagalliano.com. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.